It's really a pleasure to be here with my old friend, Rabbi Yehuda, and it's an honor to be here with a group of young men and women who are dedicated to what's clearly the most important goal in the broader agenda of Klal Yisrael, is to send young people to yeshiva. Everything else that we do for them are temporary fixes, band-aids, maybe big band-aids, but the reality is if we get them into a yeshiva or into a seminary, then it's a whole different story. The prognosis, not just prognosis, everybody gains so much. Some the gains are obvious at the beginning. Some the gains will only come out years later. Some might only come out in their children, in decisions that they have to make about the schooling and the future of their children. But it's no question about it that this year that they will spend, or some people even spend less time, but it has such a transformative effect. And everything that they do, everything that comes out of them, and their children and their grandchildren, ad soif kol hadoros, is all the schus of those people that made it possible. So it's really a very, very great privilege to be here and just to connect for a moment with people that are doing such important work. Well, what can I tell you? Obviously, if you're here, you know the stakes are high. You're highly motivated. You've been chosen because you believe to be capable of the job. And what more is there to say? I'd just like to touch just on a few points which might be relevant. We sort of have backburnered a critical concept in Yahadus. Before the Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they accepted upon themselves Arvus, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebuzeh. They accepted a responsibility which we continue to accept from generation to generation. Al Huseinu, Valeinu, Valbaneinu, Al Dereseinu. We say it every day in Shachris. And that is responsibility, one Jew for a fellow Jew. Responsibility means that we are as if one. The Gemara tells us, for example, the Mishnah says, Poroso sharobalozo ben azario hoyoyotze birtsua shebein karneo shaloi birtsua nechachomim. The cow, the poro of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would go out on Shabbos wearing something which, according to the way the Chachomim looked at the halacha, that wasn't appropriate, because a behemah is only allowed to do malacha which is for its benefit. But this was something that reflected a benefit to the owner, and therefore the Chachomim felt it was inappropriate. So the Gemara says it wasn't really Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's poro. It was really his neighbor's pora. But he could have done something about it. He could have done something about it. He could have been mechiyak. He could have told the neighbor, hey, according to the Chachomim, that's not a proper way for your animal to go out. And he didn't. So the Mishnah calls it, not, hey, you violated the din of Arvus. Hey, you didn't do something that you should have done, you know, that wasn't very nice of you. No. Poroso sharabaloza ben azario hoya yoitza birtsua shebeng karneo shalevus. It's as if his poro went out. Because of the din of Arvus, the connection of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebuzeh, that bond that we've created with each other, it's as if that Rabaloza ben Azario violated that Shabbos according to the Chachomim, because of the fact that he did not do what he could have done to prevent the neighbor. What does that say to our generation? What does that say to a world where there's so much more that we could do? There's so many more people that could be sent to yeshiva. There's so many more people that could be influenced to change the course of their lives completely. And that's what a year in Eretz Yisrael often does, and in fact, most often does. And you people are now fulfilling this Arvus, You are standing up, I guess, on behalf of us and everyone, and fulfilling this mitzvah. And so the pshat is those that could have done and don't do are going to be held responsible. Those that are doing, it's going to be considered, everything that comes out from them is going to be considered as if you did. If you'll permit me a partially humorous, partially unflattering comparison, and nobody should please be offended, I'd like to share with you another. It's a medrash, actually. The medrash says that there was a Jew who sold his ox to his non-Jewish neighbor. Real strong, hard-working ox. 6 days, the goy was thrilled with the work of his ox. Came Shabbos, the animal refused to work. Shabbos, animals don't work. Mamish, there's nothing he could do. He could kick and shove and whatever you do to an animal. And nothing happened. He was furious, goes back to his neighbor, the Jew, and he says, I want my money back. He says, you sent me this animal? Well, for a few days, things were great, but now he refuses to work. So he says, I'll take care of it. Let me have a conversation with him. So he goes over to the animal and he says, it says, Loitase kol malocha ata ubehemtecha. When you belong to me, you belong to a Jew, you're not allowed to do malocha on Shabbos. But now that you belong to this non-Jew, you're allowed to do malocha. The animal jumps up and he starts to work. The goy was so impressed that an animal could understand such a thing, and he became a ger tzedek. Fine, nice story. What's the name the Chachomin gave him? And here's a question about his first name. But the last name was Ben Tura, the son of the ox. The son of the ox. This ox, who inadvertently caused a person to decide that he wants to become a ger tzedek, is credited as if this was his son. Ke'ilu yolodoy. Hamalame ben chavero teiro ke'ilu yolodoy. It applies even to an ox. Now forgive me for the comparison, but the truth of the matter, we see that anything that we do, even if we're just the indirect cause, in other words, you could say, hey, all I'm doing is getting this kid to yeshiva. Now they're going to do the rest, so the credit is theirs. Not true. The prime cause, the one that instigated it, the one that facilitated it, the one that made it happen, comparable to, forgive me, the ox, is considered ke'ilu yelodoy, ben tura. This person forever goes with the name, the son of an ox, because it's that influence that influenced his life. So I think that you people have a tremendous opportunity with such schusim, with such natshayach, I mean, what you can accomplish. And when you do it, and when it happens, the nachas that you have is above and beyond. And I think about all the years that we sent Talmidim, Talmidos to Eretz Yisrael, and the amazing nachas that we have, the transformative effect that it had on their lives. I remember there was one young man who we had a program we would send for 6 months, the last 6 months of high school. And there was one young man who had got himself a job in Washington, and I couldn't get him to go. He was working in some senator's office, and he wanted to be a lawyer, and who knows, a career, and this was like, it was non-negotiable. But I was able to be poil, I don't know how, I guess there must have been some serious incentives, I don't remember, that he should go for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, that's all. Everyone else went for 6 months. He went for 6 weeks. Well, he came back for those 6 weeks, kashered his family's home, started a path of a life of piety, of tzidkus, a businessman. He's up every day at 3:30 in the morning learning for a few hours with a chavrusa from 6 weeks in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine what 6 months can accomplish. Imagine what a year can accomplish. And that is all useless. But I would like to caution you. Caution and encourage. Caution, you're going to face sometimes opposition which seems impossible. This one, Not a chance. This is such resistance. There's such animosity. There's such apathy. There's such parental opposition. There are a million and one walls that we could come up against that just seem impenetrable. I want to refer you to a perek in the Novi. It's Novi Yeshaya. I think it's perek Membeis. It's actually to be found in the Haftorah of Parshas Bereishis. That's the in the Haftorah. The Novi is chastising the leadership, the tzaddikim of his generation. He says, Chershim Shemo, ve'ivrim habitu lirois. Very strange language. Deaf people, you listen. Blind people, look at this. It's as a message for them. And he says, you're missing something. And who is he talking to? The Novi continues. He's talking to the shleimim of the generation, Metzudas learns Pshat. The shleimim in midos, the tzaddikim, the greatest, the most pious and highest achievers in ruchnius in the whole generation. And what is he telling them? He says, you didn't do what you could have done, what you should have done, to lahatzdikes hazulas, I think that's the Metzudas language, to send people to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. You didn't do enough. You weren't matzliach, you didn't do, you neglected it. Then at the end, the next pasuk says, Hashem chofetz laman tzidkoi yagdil torah v'yadir. So, and the Metzudas learns, haloi ikar chefetz Hashem bochem lahatzdikes hazulas. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, and that's the ikar of what Hashem wants from you. So, it sounds like a very reasonable conversation. But in reality, it's not. Because if these people were such tzaddikim, if they were such yireyim u'shleimim, and the Metzudah goes through shleimim b'midos, b'deos, and everything, how come they didn't do what they could have done? So many mechayvim, so many causes of obligation that they should be doing. Why didn't they do anything? What's wrong with these people? And if they didn't do, So why didn't they do? It must be, they looked at the situation, they said, it's intractable, it's impossible, can't be done. Otherwise, we would do it with the tzaddikim, with the shleimim. Of course, we would do this. So many mechayvim in the Torah of what we have to do to someone else to bring him closer to the Derech HaYosher. So why? We couldn't do it because it was impossible. So then what's the Novi telling them? Hashem chofetz laman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. You know, that's ikar chefetz Hashem bochem. That's what Hashem wants from you. So what? But I can't do it. Very nice, you tell me that's what Hashem wants. If it's possible, fine. I'm ready to do it. I'm a tzaddik. I'll do it without special ikar chefetz Hashem bochem because I know it's a mitzvah. I know it's a chiyuv. Elamai, I'm not doing it because it can't be done. If it's impossible, so, oh, this is what Hashem wants from you. The teretz is very simple. If we realize that this is the essence of our mission, that this is ikar chefetz Hashem bochem, that this is the call of the hour, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, then the impossible can become possible. Then there's no parent that could stand in the way and make it impossible for us to succeed. And there's no resistance on the part of a young man or a young woman that can phase us enough to say, it can't be done. Because this is the call of the hour. This is Chefetz Hashem Bochem. I have no doubt that in this generation, this is Ikar Chefetz Hashem Bochem. There's so many people. And you know something? I'd like to make a comment which many people might disagree with. That's fine. People bemoan the fact that today our youth, our adults as well, but we're talking about the youth, are exposed to such materialism, to such taiva, to such exposure, to such moral decadence, to so many alternative pleasures and thrills and excitement and a whole world out there of moral decadence and jumping from one thrill to another, one taiva to another. And how are we going to penetrate? It's the hardest of all generations. That's what we're hearing from a lot of people. And I would say, pum fakir, just the opposite. It's the easiest of all generations. Why? Because generations ago, It took a person until he reached his 50s or his 60s before he began to think that maybe I can have a little pleasure in life. He had to build a business. He had to build a little security. And by the time you were 50, 60, it's hurting here. It's hurting here. Before you know that, it's all right. The whole thing is almost over. Today, I think that by the time a young man or woman reaches age 20, they have personally or vicariously experienced every pleasure, every opportunity, every material existence out there, things that our great-grandparents couldn't imagine ever existed. And what happens then? They get frustrated earlier. They realize it's not bringing me happiness. Yeah, it's thrilling. Yeah, it's pleasure. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's money. Yeah, I buy one car, another car, another car, another car. But I'm still miserable. And at a younger age, people realize that. Then they get into their 20s and their 30s, and that by then you have to be at least a multimillionaire, otherwise you're a low yutzlach. And today, by 40 to 50, you got to be a billionaire. Not quite, but almost. We're getting there. And if not, and these people are miserable. Do you know, somebody said, I heard this quote yesterday for the first time. They said, the happiest people are the unsuccessful people. How could that be? Very unfortunate. Because successful people realize that the success doesn't make them happy. And the unsuccessful people are still dreaming about the happiness that they're going to have when they become successful. Uri Zohar put it in a little bit of a different way. A brilliant observation. He said, when we're children, we play with toys, toy cars and this and that. When we get older, we do the same thing. We're still children, except we're playing with more expensive cars. We're playing with more dangerous cars. We're playing with bigger cars. But we're still playing. We're still being childish about it. Life has to have meaning. Our generation is ready, I believe, more than any other generation, to recognize the need for meaning in their lives, because they have already learned that all that so entices and attracts them, and that they thought would make them happy, leaves them empty. They feel, I made it, I got it, now what? How many people have come to me over the years and said, I remember one guy, a brilliant doctor in the neighborhood here, he says, I have everything. I have a wonderful practice, I have a wonderful life, I have beautiful children, I have a beautiful home, I have everything, money, everything I need. And I'm empty inside. And I hear that song again and again and again and again, sung in our generation. And I submit to you that the youth today, the high school graduates or whatever year you'll be dealing with, they're already there too. Maybe not as the guy who went further and still sees there's nothing. But they begin to see they've done this, they've done that, they've done everything. And something's missing. I don't know what it is, but you can tell them what it is. You can guide them what it is. You can share personal experiences with them. You could open up their minds and say, hey, there has to be some more meaning in life. You know, I think it's very important that in a generation where everybody wants to be happy, I think that's the common goal of everyone on the planet. And more money, time, and effort has been spent in the pursuit of happiness than probably anything else in our society. And yet, if you judge by any of the statistics or by any of the factors out there, the numbers out there, we're not doing too well as a happy society. Suicide rates, the happiest places, places where they got more parties in one night than they have in a year in someplace else. And highest suicide rate, highest divorce rate, highest substance abuse rate, highest rate that the mental health professionals can charge. And this one community that I'm thinking about, I don't want to mention it because maybe somebody here comes from that community, and this community invented the concept of a canine shrink. They take their animal to a psychologist as well, because everybody's going nuts. They have everything and they have minus nothing. And they realize it, or they're beginning to realize it, or they're prone for us, for you, to be able to show them that. And that really, I think, is the message. Iker chefetz Hashem bochem. is to get these people to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to the yeshiva. And it's doable, despite the fact that it seems in many cases impossible, in other cases, in many cases, improbable and unlikely. But it's doable if we know, number one, that that's our tafkid, that's our responsibility, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And we know also that they're very vulnerable because they have come to the realization that something's missing. Something is missing. And that vulnerability allows us to achieve them. But in terms of happiness, I think we should have a definition of happiness, because if the world is so unhappy and everyone's pursuing happiness, I think the answer may be why this is true is because they don't know what it is. We can give them a definition of happiness because we have a Loshon HaKodesh. In the Loshon HaKodesh, the three-letter root of a word tells us exactly what that word means. Every time that three-letter root appears, it implants meaning into the word. Not like other languages that this is called a table just because people agreed to call it a table, and this is a paper because of convention and no other reason. In Loshon HaKodesh, one of the highest forms of happiness is Osher. David HaMelech said, Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem oiso avakesh, shivti be'es Hashem. He wanted his ultimate goal to sit in the house of Hashem. And what did David HaMelech say about sitting in the house of Hashem? Ashrei yoshvei v'esech, Osher. Aleph Shin Reish is the sheresh. The sheresh of Osher, happiness, is Yishur, validation, feeling good about myself. If a person feels good about themselves, they'll be happy. If they have purpose, they can feel good about themselves. If their life has meaning, they can feel good about themselves. If they have no purpose and their life has no meaning, and everything I do with all the pleasure, and pleasure makes me feel bad about myself, because the more I take in, it doesn't do anything for me. And I need the outside in order to survive. If I can't survive on my own, that means I'm worthless, I'm trash, and I have to keep getting trash with the outside. Doesn't say, it doesn't give a very positive message. And we can convey this message. And they can see. They have to see in you that you're happy with your life. They have to understand that happiness is about a life of meaning and purpose. They already understand, maybe better than we do, that their life doesn't have any meaning and doesn't have any purpose. And all of the substitutes that they've been attempting to imbibe have not succeeded. So I think you have an amazing mission. I think that you should be thankful for the privilege of being in such a position. It's not an easy job, but with the recognition of this is my tafkid, and the recognition that, I would even say more, the more they oppose, the more vulnerable they are. We find this over the years. The people that put up the biggest fight are usually the easiest to get. They're involved, they're engaged, they're thinking, they're feeling, there's something to talk to. There's not just Mr. Apathy just sitting there and not doing anything. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help. You should be able to succeed in this mission. When you daven for them and you daven for the success of your mission, when you put your confidence, your trust, your hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will help you, you will for sure be matzliach. And the schus that you'll have for yourselves, your families, and your future generations will be beyond anybody's ability to calculate. Thank you for the privilege.